Hello and welcome to Bold Conscious Connections, the show where we delve into the journeys of exceptional individuals who have embraced their true potential. My name is Raju Panjwani, your guide on this adventure of discovery. In each episode, we connect with inspiring leaders, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who share their stories of transformation, resilience, and success. This is a space for you to find inspiration, my friends, learn from others' experiences, and ignite your own path of personal and professional growth. Now, so whether you're seeking a spark of motivation or strategies for success, join us on this journey of bold and conscious connections. In this refreshed season 4, Bold Entrepreneurial Tales, we're celebrating the stories of individuals who bravely stepped beyond traditional roles to follow their entrepreneurial hearts, as I say. These are not just business stories. They're personal journeys of courage, creativity, and transformation. Whether you're dreaming of starting your own venture or seeking inspiration to keep going, these tales are for you. Join us as we share relatable life experiences, real life experiences, challenges and triumphs that resonate with your journey towards success and fulfillment. Now, without further ado, let me get to today's episode. Well, hello, my friends. As you know, it is my purpose in this show to bring examples of individuals who redefine success by leading with purpose and conviction. So in this episode, I'm honored to have brought in Jennifer Murphy, whose journey is a testament to the power of faith and leadership in navigating life's many transitions that we all go through. After more than 25 years in corporate America, Jen embarked on a new path that many only contemplate, moving from a stable, defined career to the uncharted waters of entrepreneurship. Her story is not just about change, it's about transformation at its core. In this conversation, Jennifer shares moments of decision where the comfort of the known was left behind for a calling that spoke to her soul. I mean, she talks about that so beautifully. She dives into the essence of what it means to lead with faith, the challenges of embracing complete uncertainty, and how these experiences have created a new definition of leadership for her. This episode is for anyone standing at the crossroads. If you're thinking about a leap into the unknown or seeking to infuse your leadership with some deeper meaning and purpose, well, this is for you, my friend. Jennifer's insights not only provide inspiration to me, but also if you hear her story, it's a roadmap for navigating change with grace and determination. So listen as we explore her journey, offering lessons in faith, leadership, and the courage to follow one's heart. So it's time to be inspired, my friends. Grab a notebook if you're running or walking. Maybe stop and listen again and write some of these things down. She challenges our perceptions and allows us to discover the impact of true leadership. So let me not stand in the way of this conversation and you. I'm so happy here today to welcome Jennifer Murphy. I've gotten to know her over the last few months. She's part of accountability group. And Jennifer has been working in corporate America for over 25 years, training and development and many other sorts of human touch points where she really is a leader that I've got to admire. So welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
That's great. Well, we're here to, you know, help our audience, which largely should consist of people who are in corporate looking to either make a move or, and I know you've just made the move. So it's really exciting to talk to you because I want to know, you know, what went through and there's some questions I have around that. And I'm sure the audience would love to know. So the first thing, and I think everybody now seems to know that my first question usually is, you know, I'll put everything about you in the show notes and where you worked and what you've been doing. But I always like to ask, who is that person I'm talking to? So who is Jennifer?
Who is Jennifer? So I am a wife and a mom and definitely someone who's very passionate about my family. I love spending time with my family, whether my immediate family, extended family. I am definitely passionate about my faith. It's a big part of who I am, and the decisions I make is based on my faith. And I'm somebody who, When I think of when I'm the most truest to myself, it is when I am drawing on my experiences and learnings to try to help somebody else. I think there's such a joy that I have in helping other people based on what I have learned and what I have experienced myself. So that can maybe help them be inspired or have new perspective or just learn different things. Because ultimately for me, I really want to help people reach their potential and to be the best version of themselves. So that is something that is really important to me. And I definitely, whether it's in my personal life or professional life, there's an immense joy that I get from serving in that way.
Well, so that's why people come together, like-minded people, right? So because we're all coming from the heart, you know, we're in this business of either coaching, mentoring, and learning and development, such a great field. And you spent obviously decades here. So, you know, and whatever decisions we make in life, where we are in the present, obviously come from some other turning points we've had in our life. So reflecting on your impressive career journey, Jen, could you share a pivotal moment that kind of steered you towards the leadership development path? And how did that moment shape what you've been doing currently? And maybe you can tell us what recently happened, as I know.
Sure. So I've been a people leader for many years, probably close to 20-ish, I would say, out of my career. And I would say that there was probably one role in particular in a previous employer that it was my first leader of leader roles, pretty fast paced, making some major moves from a restructure perspective. It was, everything was new. I knew the people because I had been in, you know, a role that I was promoted into this role, but I had a new landscape to learn. I was in a corporate-wide strategic initiative. And at the same time, my leader taps me on the shoulder and says, we need to restructure everything and move to a new service model. Experiences in my career, just because there was, we didn't have data, we didn't have metrics, we didn't have a lot of information that we needed to make some pretty important decisions. But through that period, I learned so much about the value of being close to your people and just being who you are naturally and the impact that makes on others. So when I tell you it was a pretty rocky restructure, it was. Like immediately we knew, like day one, we realized things that were not complex individually, when you put them together, they created a lot of complexity. And all of us, myself, my leaders, we were all in there jumping in to do the work. We were emailing clients. We were doing all the things we need to do. But over time, over that, I would say, 8-month period, we implemented a lot of tools. We created our own metrics. We created standard work. We did a lot of different things. And something we did that was far more beneficial and far-reaching ways than I ever would have anticipated was we had a daily huddle with our teams. And I literally went to every single one of my team's huddles. And I had teams in multiple locations. I would join virtually before really virtual was a thing, right? Like I was, you know, joining calls with my teams. And over time, even though it was hard, I did not lose one person on my team. Everybody stuck through it. And when we had our engagement results at the end of that period, say 8 months, all of our areas, communication, manager, effectiveness, you know, development, you name it, every area improved by double digit percentages.
Right.
And I was fearful it was going to tank, you know, because it was such a rocky experience. But I say all that to share that when I looked back, and even when I left that role to move into a different position, the people on my team said that that experience right there was one of the most impactful for them. And what I learned from that is when you invest in your people, when you're intentional with them, when you don't worry about that I should be doing this or that, but you get in there with your people, there's far more dividends from a personal perspective than you could ever try to quantify. And I think for me, that was one of the most pivotal moments in my career that helped me really find a true passion for people and supporting them in various ways. Because a lot of this was new to me. Some of the tools we use and all the approaches and things, it was a really important experience for me as a leader.
Well, we're going to come to the fact that you're now an entrepreneur, first-time entrepreneur, and what led to that. But since we're still talking about leaders and leaders within your group and organization, you know, I'm sure you've come across the fact that it's hard to navigate the challenges of, you know, aligning the individual employee's growth with the overarching goals of the organization, right? That's always, you know, and that's that's where a lot of the conflict and the friction often is. But do you have an example where this alignment actually led to significant either growth for the individual or growth for the organization or both, whichever you've experienced, whatever the experience told you?
So I think one of the things that I took away from that experience was that many times I've always worked in service roles. So my teams have always consisted of frontline associates, so associates who are speaking to customers directly. And I think what has been true for me is that many times associates at the front line do not understand how what they do makes a difference to the bottom line. You know, if you're in sales, if you're in positions that you are held accountable to drive revenue, and I have definitely been in roles where my team was impactful to revenue, it's a lot easier to say, hey, these activities line up to that goal, right? But most times, employees don't know how to identify like what they do matters and how it ties into the ultimate bottom line. And so during that period, I would say that was one of the things that we helped to show our people. And so in these daily huddles, what we would do is, so I worked in the manufacturing industry for the bulk of my career, outside of probably the last 8 years. So Lean Six Sigma was a very prominent approach in the way we did our work. And so our team was the first to take what was predominantly a manufacturing floor type of approach, in that we had these what we call MDI boards, so managing for daily improvement. So in our huddles, we would actually talk about our work. So here are our metrics. Here are the things that we're held accountable to. And these are the goals of our business. And so pretty quickly, we were able to make the connection for our people that these, you know, three, four things that you're doing, this is how it impacts our revenue. Our shipments are going out. We're releasing orders from hold so that we can ship them. So it was a way to help them not only talk about it, but look from a data perspective and kind of close that gap for them to say, you really make a difference. Your role really matters. And so for us, what we saw during that period is that associates were building those competence they need from an ownership perspective and accountability, and not just a personal accountability, but a team accountability. Like we had not seen that before, as well as, you know, just learning how to problem solve and collaborate and all those things. So I don't know, that's not one person, but I would say it was a group of people that we were really able to correlate what they did day in and day out and how it truly was impactful to the business, which changed their perception of why it matters that I do what I do.
Right. So why do you think that, you know, employees in general, and I'm not picking on that team or otherwise, you made the comment that most people don't know why what they do matters. Why do you think that is? Why do they not know that? That's my question, really.
Well, I would say probably in the last probably 10 years, I heard someone say that every employee wants to know what's expected of them and they want to contribute. But I'm sure you've come across many leaders that have not clearly explained what's expected, right, of the role. And I think what happens is most times employees come into their roles, they're given the tasks to do, and they're, okay, go do them, right? And there's not enough conversation happening with leaders and their people to say, here's what our goals are. Here's how we contribute to that. Here's why what you do matters. So I'll give you a good example. In my last company, my last team, which was probably one of the most favorite roles of my entire career, we went through a major transformation as well. And we started helping our leaders learn how to use data in their leadership. Now, if you're in, you know, more elevated roles of leadership, data is a real part of how you manage your business, right? But at the frontline level, data can still be pretty intimidating to leaders. And so what we were able to help our leaders see is that you just take a little bit of time, these key metrics, this is what it tells you. And then you take that and talk to your person, your team member, and help them see, hey, these things that you're doing, the clients that you're talking to on the phone, the cases you're working and closing, the follow-up, responsiveness, all these day-to-day activities that you're responsible for, this is how that ties to client experience and retention and our ability to grow the business and sustain it and help those clients. So I think the short answer is, I don't think leaders are comfortable and know how to message it to their people. Mm. But when they do, it's powerful. Because I think today, one of the things that I've been reading a lot about recently is there's a lack of purpose, right? That a lot of employees yeah. feel, even at the senior levels, right? Executive
yeah,
levels.
Very, very much at the senior because, levels, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And I think a lot of it comes down to the reality of work today is we are working faster, nonstop, every single day. And we're not pausing to reflect on why we are here, why we're doing what we're doing, because mm-hmm. everybody has a role to play. And it's about helping them make that connection.
Well, it's funny. I think this has been an age-old problem. And, you know, I'm very old, so I've been around 40 years of working, and this is not uncommon way back then, and particularly, as you say, now. So tell us the story about, since you made this recent change, what led to that, and what was that pivotal moment that you said, you know what, I want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I'm kind of done with this part of my life of corporate. Talk yeah. to us about that.
So I think this has been on my heart for a number of years, right, to do this. And actually, my husband was the one that was the first one to say to me many years ago, earlier in my career, why don't you go and do this? And I'm like, no, I don't, you know, I was good where I was. And I was steadily progressing in my career. And so I hadn't quite believed that yet, right? And so, but I would say probably in the last 4 or 5 years, it has been on the back of my mind that, you know, I want more flexibility in my schedule. You know, I want to be available for my family. The work was not getting any easier, right? Definitely things I enjoyed doing and felt that the roles played to my strengths. But the pressure, the fast pace, all the stress that comes from it, you know, it just was starting to make me wonder, is this what it's all about, right? Like, is this really something that is this how I want to spend my life, right? And so I actually thought about doing this a few years ago, but then I had a really wonderful opportunity to move into a role that allowed me to work for a leader that I admired tremendously, someone who I'd worked with in the past. And when I talked to him about the role, I was more excited than I had been in years. And so I knew that that wasn't the time for me to pursue the entrepreneur side of my dream. So I made the move to this role. And as I mentioned a minute ago, it was probably one of my most favorite roles in my entire career. And in the last 2.5 years, I would say I have learned so much and accomplished a lot with my team, things I'm very proud of from a career perspective and impact. But I would say probably a year ago, I was starting to feel that it was time to do something different. So I had a wonderful team. I loved my team, loved who I worked with and for, but I just wasn't as fulfilled as I had been previously. And so there were a number of things. I could probably give you a whole show on just last year because it was crazy. Now that I look back and see all the different ways, all the nudges and affirmations that I received the entire year. But I would say there were probably a few different things that happened that really kind of made me stop and reflect on, okay, I've got to make a decision. Am I going to do this or not? So earlier in the year, I was listening to a podcast, and it was the speaker had made a comment. It was all about like what's holding you back. And I immediately knew it was my job for me. Like it was a light bulb, no hesitation. And I think, you know, like a lot of us, right, we're comfortable, it's secure, it's, you know, it's harder, right, to get out and do something on your own. And I think that I, like most people, just, it was scary to do something like that. But I knew immediately that it was my job that was really holding me back from pursuing what I needed to do. So that was kind of the first thing. But then a couple of months later, so I think I've shared with you, Raju, that I have a planner and I've used planners for years. It truly is like, I have to have it. Like it keeps me on track. And, but I had gotten my new one. So I follow an academic year because, you know, following my son in school and all the things. I had just gotten my new planner for the next year. And at the beginning, right before the first month, there was a sentence. So it was like, it's very inspirational and, you know, encouraging to start the new, you know, year. The last sentence in that section said, "This year, your life matters more than you know." I don't think these things are coincidental. I believe that there are people and words and things that happen that are put in place for a reason. And that really struck me. Right. And I really felt that it was, okay, you say you want to do this. You say this is important to you. Are you actually going to do something about it? First, within that month, I took immediate action. So my planner starts in July. So the first weekend of July, I actually met with somebody who had left her corporate job, started a business, so I could kind of get some insight. I walked away super excited, very motivated. And then the next week, I was at a leadership conference for my corporate job at the time. And I felt on the second day, a clear as day thought come to my mind, you're not going to find what you're looking for here. And I, between those two things, I think they just struck me in such a way that I knew I had to do something different. And so I immediately started taking just one step after the next to learn what I needed to do to get my business up and running. I was taking courses, which is how you and I connected, so I could start preparing and planning what this would look like. And then I would say probably the last pivotal moment for me, because I knew I was going to leave. I just didn't know when. And I was very conscious about the time of year that we were getting ready to go into. It's one of our busiest seasons, and that also weighed on me a lot. But in November, something prompted me to just look at my journal from the past year. And I came across my notes from that first podcast that I told you about. And I just read through, I don't write in my journal every single day, but when there's something that happens that I really want to document, like I'm writing it down, I looked through that journal and I felt like it was all laid out right there in front of me. And it was just as clear as day that it was now. The time was now. And so I had this immense peace come over me. And so within a few days, I turned in my notice and made a plan to work out a month and make the shift. So looking back, there were a lot of validations and affirmations over that year, especially in the last 6 months. But I would say those are probably the three pivotal moments for me that really prompted me into action.
So good. So good. So I'm telling you that, you know, this is the kind of people I speak with, and these people that are listening here are all, you know, are these high level, high achieving executives who really think they're entrepreneurial. They know they are. Something has been put inside them, like in your case. However long it took, right? Like I left after many, like almost three decades, but it's just like I was probably a late bloomer. But it's just something is inside of you if you really have a desire to do this. So, you know, and then there's no coincidence, and there is a time for it. And as you say, your decision was made. You just didn't know when. So, what is it that you do? What is your business?
So I focus on leadership coaching and development, which again, my passion is really about helping other people and drawing on my own experiences to help them in that way, but also business consulting. So I've been very fortunate in my career to have different levels of responsibility and different parts of the business. For me, it's really about drawing on those experiences and helping other businesses to learn in the approaches that have worked for me, because I've been through the challenges. I've struggled just like every other leader, but I have found some really effective ways to connect with people, to focus on development, to drive the productivity and efficiencies that you need as a leader, like you're held accountable to. So for me, a lot of it is about focusing on helping leaders in those ways. So that's really what I'm working on.
Awesome. So I think so. We're all aligned here. We're like preaching to the choir, but in today's rapidly evolving business landscape, and it's, you know, as you know, technology is driving everybody in different directions. And so how do you balance the need for innovation with, you can call on your experiences because you just started your entrepreneurship journey now, but maintaining an organization's core values and being able to then, you know, still move forward, right? So can you share an instance where you successfully managed that balance of core values and innovation? Because sometimes that creates an issue, like, this is our business, and here we are now. Technology is driving us in that direction.
Yeah. So I think for me, a lot of it was about taking time to listen to people. So that last role that I just mentioned that I was in before I left, it was in a situation where they were going through a lot of transformation when I first came in. And so I spent a lot of time just meeting with my leaders and meeting with teams in roundtable situations, but then also individually. I met one-on-one with every single associate in my organization, which took probably, you know, a couple of months to get through. And that exercise was so impactful to me because I learned so much about the business. I learned was challenging the associates. And to me, one of the things I think is critical with leadership is you have to give your people a seat at the table. Right? You have to give them a platform, an opportunity to share the ideas that they have to make a difference. Yeah. Because I truly believe that the people at the front line know how to solve a lot of the challenges that companies face. But you have to give them the platform to tell you, right? And so I went through that experience, which again, very core to who I am from a value perspective. And in the company I was in as well, like definitely every person counts. We, you know, our employees are, we're definitely top priority with our clients, right? For me, the employees, all my associates have always been the priority. Right. So I took that effort. And from that, we were able to walk away with, okay, here are the key opportunities. Here are the quick wins that we can implement. I went to my leader and say, hey, can I just pilot something? I have an idea based on what I've heard. Right. He's like, absolutely, let's run with it. So that was an example of how listening and valuing your people, which is a core value of our company, right? And then from that, gleaning the ways to be innovative and making change. So through that process, right? And there were other things that we did, but we implemented that pilot. It made a dramatic impact, and it really transformed our structure and service model just from sitting and listening and talking to people and showing that they were heard and they what they believed mattered.
Beautiful. So really, I mean, is there like a lot of these people that are probably sitting on the fence listening to this conversation? You know, what do I have inside of me? Do I want to be an entrepreneur? A lot of them don't. And that's perfectly fine because organizations need, you know, dedicated people who are loyal and obviously working their way up, but they're also deeply experienced in that business or what have you. So they're useful, you know, very pivotal to the success of the organization. But is there one piece of advice for those sitting on the fence and figuring out, I got to, like you, me, want to leave and do something? Is there something that they should be more mindful of than other things to make the move, take the plunge?
Well, I think for most people, they're not immediate, like overnight decisions. I think the, you know, even when people leave companies, I think if they reflect back, the desires have been there all along, right? It's just whether you pay attention to those nudges and the things that are in front of you every single day, right? So I think for me, I am somebody who wants to prepare and plan. And so I think first you have to really take the time and really self-reflect on what it is you want to do. Mm-hmm. And what are your strengths? And B, I mean, you're never going to be 100% sure because you're not going to know all the answers and you're not going to have everything laid out in front of you. That's part of the journey and that's part of the excitement of the journey, right? Is that you don't know what's ahead, but you feel pretty confident you're on the right path, right? So I think that's probably one thing you really need to do. I think you have to be really, you know, self-reflective. I do think, obviously, if you have other people in your life, whether you're married or not, like everybody, I think, has kind of a core group, right? And I think it's important to seek that counsel, wise counsel, to kind of mm-hmm. share and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. This is how I'm preparing for it. Because I will say that through my own journey and, you know, talking about it with my husband and just, you know, people that I'm close to, they also brought in perspective that I hadn't maybe necessarily considered, like, oh, yeah, I need to think about that. I need to make sure I do this. So I think that's a real important exercise as well. And then I think, of course, you know, as much as you can, I think you need to be as prepared, you know, for the things because you're leaving an income, right? You're leaving a steady income. So I think you need to be prepared financially. I think that's important. And I know, listen, you can, you know, sometimes you just got to go. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to make that decision. But I also think that's a motivating factor to help you to accomplish whatever it is you need to do. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe things work out for the best. If you've gone through that exercise where you have mm-hmm. put that thoughtful intention in that, and mm-hmm. you have assessed what is the right thing to do. Again, you're never going to be 100% sure. But I think if you feel 70, 80% confident and you've kind of gone through that exercise, I don't think that'll lead you astray. At least that's what I believe in my own life.
That's great. Well, we're talking about you. So what I do is something totally crazy. Nobody would even want to do what I do. But for me, it's about focusing on the why so much that if it doesn't outweigh, your desire doesn't outweigh the perceived pain that you have of what you might mm-hmm. go through to get there, then it's not going to happen. In other words, because your pain, the perception of your pain and the difficulty that you will have is so strong, i.e. the how. I think Tony Robbins calls it the tyranny of how. Yeah, the tyranny of how is what stops us from doing anything in life meaningful for you, even though you know deep that nudge that you talk about. The nudge is there. You're just not following the nudges. And then we live a life of regret, you know? And go, well, I should have done this. And most of us regret towards the end of our lives what we haven't done, right? So very well put from your journey. And I really wish you the very best in this journey. And I'm here as long as I'm here to be helpful as well. So are you ready for some quick rapid fire questions?
Sure.
All right. There you go. All right. Your leadership style in one word.
Transparent.
Oh, I love it. Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
A leader that really inspires you, living or dead? It could be from your life.
Well, oh my gosh, there's so many leaders, Raju. I don't know that I could pick just one. Right. Well, I will tell you, I look to, obviously my faith is a big part of who I am, right? So I look to, you know, different saints. I look to Jesus, you know, that is my motivation and really what I'm trying to live by. Cool. So.
All right. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I've ever received. I don't know who had put this out to me or who had influenced me in this way, but I would say there's always a solution. There's always a solution. I truly believe that. I used to work with a salesman years ago who said, you deal with escalations all the time. How can you be so positive and happy all the time? And I'm like, because there's always a solution. I'm going to figure it out. It may not be perfect. It may not be what we hope it would be, you know, ideally, but there's a compromise in there somewhere. There's a solution in there somewhere. So I don't know whoever told that to me, but that has been something that has been like my mantra, if you will, forever.
I love it. What's the biggest risk you've ever taken in your career?
The biggest risk? Well, probably what I'm doing right now.
I was going to say.
That's probably it.
Yeah. So I want to wait to ask that question. So I'd say that, but I'm going to say a skill you're currently trying to master, aspiring to master.
A skill. So I would say technology. So it's funny, you know, when you work in corporate America, you have a whole team of people, right, that can help you figure things out technology wise. And when you step out on your own, you're learning all of it. My husband teased me when I first started getting everything set up on my computer. He's like, Jennifer, you work in technology with technology every single day. Like, why is this a struggle? I'm like, well, I'm learning new things. I have people there that help me know how to do it. So I would say technology is probably, I'm learning a lot about different softwares and different and how they work and connect and all the things. So I would say that is probably the skill I am mastering at this moment.
That's great. Aren't we all, though? Yeah. All right. One last one. Success habit.
Success habit. I really try to plan out what's important for me to accomplish in the week. I think that's really important because I think your days go by. Even as an entrepreneur, your days are very full. You've got many things that you're trying to work on. Content to create, calls, you're coaching, you're working with clients and so forth. So there's a lot of different things that are pulling at you, regardless of if you're an entrepreneur or if you're in the corporate world. And so for me, it's always been about being clear about my priorities. That's where my planner has been such an effective tool for me, because it allows me to think about days in advance and the week ahead and like things that I know are coming up in future weeks and getting that documented and even putting it on my planner. Okay, on this day, I need to make sure I'm doing X. So for me, I would say it's really about documenting my priorities and having it visually in front of me so that I can stay on track. Obviously, some days you're not going to get through everything, but at least I know where to go back to, right? I'm not so distracted or pulled away that I can't remember, hey, where do I need to, you know, go action next. So, and I think for me, what I see a lot in leadership is that there are so many responsibilities that leaders have on their plate. It's a struggle. It's really hard to know how do I balance all these pieces. And that has been an effective way for me to do that.
Fantastic. Listen, so you heard me say this with other people. I don't take anything for granted. So I really appreciate you being on this platform and get out there and just, you know, go do your magic, Jen. I think the world's waiting for you. And so do you want people to reach you somehow? Or are you going to provide them some nuggets to go, a freebie somewhere that they should go check out?
Yes, I'm working on
the show notes, but just in case you have something to say.
Yeah, no. So I'm actually working on a few things right now that I think will be some effective tools to help leaders. Just some of those common things that maybe they don't think about that can be real impactful. The one thing I have found in my life and career is that the simple things really do make a difference. So I'm putting together some tools and resources that I hope will be really effective for leaders. I'm on LinkedIn. I have a website, Inspire and Transform Consulting, which I'll give you all of that so we can include. Yeah. My goal is really to put content out there so that leaders can be inspired, that they can realize that it's a lot easier than they think. And it's just really about being intentional. And I think when you do that, things start to really come together, and that's how they receive that value, but also can make progress toward their potential, which is really ultimately what it's about for me.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you. I don't take anything for granted. In the vein of not taking things for granted, what might have you discovered in this call?
Well, you asked some really good questions, Raju, and you have me stumped on a couple of things. So I would say what I have learned in this call is that, and I think I would say I know this, but connection really matters. And you never know when you take steps of faith, leaps of faith, who it will put you in touch with and the relationships you will build. I'm very thankful for you and our accountability pod and just, you know, what we're learning and doing together. It has really been such a gift to me. And I would say what I have learned is just when you do trust those nudges and you do take those steps, that you never know what blessings are going to come from that. And to me, this conversation is one of those things in the friendship that we're building as well. So I appreciate you, Rashid.
Yeah, I wasn't looking for compliments from you. I was just looking to see what, you know, what we might have, you might have discovered, and here you are. So I appreciate you saying all these things. So I look forward to hearing more about your journey, and I'm talking to you every week. So we'll keep each other accountable. So appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate Thank you so you. Much for being Thank here.
Okay. Absolutely.
Take good care.
And that, my friend, brings us to the end of another episode of Bold Conscious Connections. I hope today's conversation has sparked new ideas and inspired you to embrace your own journey of growth and entrepreneurship. Remember, every step forward is a step towards achieving your dreams and your success. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and download the episode that you heard today. This way you can stay connected with our community of bold and conscious leaders. Take at least one action today, my friend, towards your goals, and join us next time for more empowering stories and insights. Here is to your power.